Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 8. And here's what it says. In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. Notice the two connected together. The heart and the mouth. It's on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, there they are again, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it's by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Interesting how Paul connects the two, the heart and our speech. Father, you are the source of our strength and the source of our joy. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The joy of the Lord. I want to talk a little bit about that. And in this context, we live in a culture that's filled with great stress. Everywhere we look, it's a continuum of stressful information flowing at us daily. Anytime you grow fatigued, if you're not careful, discouragement will come upon you. Anybody know that? And anytime you're overtired, if you're not careful, depression will come on you. Life doesn't always turn out the way that we plan. And there are all kinds of things that can happen that can leave us depressed, feeling low. Anytime you're disappointed, discouragement will attempt to get on you and all over you. Anytime you have losses in your life, loss of job or goals, you don't achieve what you set out to do, you misfired, someone you love leaves you, someone you love passes on. Anytime there are losses in life, I promise you, discouragement will attempt to come upon you. A bad report can leave you depressed. Life has a way of crushing us from time to time. There's something inside of us that says, you know, if you had more money, then you wouldn't be discouraged. If you had a bigger house, you wouldn't be frustrated. If you got a newer car, maybe you wouldn't be as discouraged. We must always remember this. Things cannot bring us lasting joy. You think if you had a different husband or a different wife that you'd be happy. We have to understand that the joy of the Lord is not happiness. The joy of the Lord is something that happens deep down inside of us that circumstances cannot affect or take away. That's why we have to maintain relationship with Jesus continuously. You can love the Lord, you can have a failure, and have still some happiness rolling through your life. However, sin, when practiced, will eventually rob you of that joy. Joy comes from being in right relationship with the Lord because there's peace between you. Joy comes when you're in right relationships around you. Joy comes when you're serving the Lord in some capacity with the gifts he's given you. Then your faith begins to grow. It's in the good soil of that kind of joy that faith grows. No matter what you're going through, your faith can get increased and developed and still mature in strength. God is going to get you through whatever circumstance you're in. That faith agrees with God's word. And you can love God with all your heart, yet still in your feelings and emotions feel discouraged. Elijah grew depressed because things got kind of rough in his ministry, in his life. He had a death sentence put on him by Queen Jezebel, who said, I want you dead for the end of the day. Any of us are subject to discouragement. When ministry can grow discouraged, you get discouraged when things get rough on the job or in business or in family. Elijah grew so depressed, he said, Lord, why don't you just take me home? Why don't you end my life? Have you ever been at the point in your life like Elijah where you got so discouraged you thought, God, it'd be better if I weren't here. It just isn't worth it any longer. Job questioned God and said, you know, maybe it would have been better had I not been born. Jesus, our own master, hanging on the cross, said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So no matter who you are, you have felt at one time or another that life, man, it's just not worth living like this. Jonah said, it's better for me to die than to live. So the disciples, in their ministries, they grew discouraged because of all the persecution that they were enduring under the Roman government. So when you're on your job and people harass you and make life a little tough and step on you on their way up, I'm telling you, it can discourage you. It'll make you want to stay in bed some mornings, you know? It'll make you want to quit your job. Life is full of difficult moments. It's full of challenges. It's full of stressors. Life is filled with failures. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. It's only temporary. I have overcome the world. I've overcome for you. And he said, don't let life get you down. I know it's getting you down, but change your attitude. Don't let it get you down. Tell your neighbor, don't let it get you down. When the children of Israel were in Egypt as slaves, they were severely abused, beaten down in life, generation after generation. As a result, they come up out of Egypt and they struggled in their faith, trusting God. They had a hard time walking in faith. If you come from an abusive past in any way, you will struggle with faith. And that's why you have to continually draw close to the Lord, because that abuse will still work for your good, because as God strengthens you and ensures you and encourages you and secures you, you're going to help other people come out of the same kind of background you came out of. Because of the years of abuse they endured, they struggled. They had negative attitudes. They struggled with complaint. They struggled with depression. They lived under a spirit of failure. They had a slave mentality, a victim mentality, and they never learned to change the things that they were saying. They didn't learn to trust God, no matter what they were walking through. They were so insecure. And God desires to make us feel secure, even though we've been raised in an insecure environment. They didn't learn to trust him, no matter what they faced. Once God brought them out, all they seemed to want to do was complain. He fed them quail, they complained. Fed them manna, they complained. He brought water out of a rock, they complained. They complained about their pastor. They complained about leadership. Ultimately, they were complaining about God, saying, you're not doing a good job taking care of us. We don't have enough of this or enough. God grew so tired of the negative speech. He said, I know I love you, but you're going to die in the wilderness. Wow. Why? Because he wasn't going to take that crowd into the promised land, because they would complain about that too. And they still wouldn't trust him. And it was not going to be all he intended it to be. So hear what I'm preaching. God loves us. He's not mad at us, no matter what it is we've done in life. But if you don't learn to come up out of negativity to overcome that victim mentality, if you don't learn to become positive in your point of view, you're going to remain in the wilderness all your life. He will love you, but you will die in that kind of wilderness. Yeah. Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land. 10 of them returned with a negative report. God called it an evil report. He heard that coming out of the 10. He said, that's evil. In other words, 4 out of 5 people are going to have a negative attitude. It doesn't have to be you. I said, it's not going to be me. You need to say that. It's not going to be me. When people have a wilderness mentality, they're negative. They complain. And sometimes it's become such an habitual way of life, they don't even know it, except everyone around them knows it. You know what I'm saying? They complain so much, they don't even know they're complainers. They whine so much, I don't have this. That person has all of the advantages. That person has privileges I've never had. I don't have those kind of privileges. They've done it so much, they don't even know that they're saying it. They live in the wilderness all of their days. They don't make headway in life. If you just keep going in circles year after year, you better hear what I'm saying to you today. If you know you love the Lord, but you're not making the progress you're hoping for, maybe this message is for you today. Negative talk and complaining, you will eat the fruit of your lips, the scripture says. You're going to eat it. God met all their needs in the wilderness. He provided food. He provided water, clothing, shoes that didn't wear out. He took such wonderful care for them in the wilderness. And they were continually complaining, and God wanted them to progress through the tests and begin to say, we trust you. We believe you. And we can rely on you. And we know you're not going to treat us like we were treated when we were slaves. But they didn't seem to make progress. And their families didn't make any progress. And God loved them, but he said, I'm not going to allow you to go into the promised land. So what does that mean to us? He loves us, but we're not going to have the miracle breakthrough that we hope for. Hope is wonderful, but I've got to have faith and trust in the Lord to see the miracle manifest. As long as we're murmuring and complaining, he loves us, but we're not going to get the better job because most employers don't want complainers in high positions. God loves you, but as long as you're complaining, I'm in somebody's business right now. Yeah, I can tell. It's good. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write this. God did. The children of Israel remained in the wilderness for 40 years because they wouldn't change the things they were saying. They refused. The things they said just reflected their heart's position. They even said this. They said, it would be better for us to go back to Egypt than to follow the Lord out here. Can you imagine? That's like some Christians. They treat me better in the world than they treat me in church. You can hear that wilderness mentality. They died in the wilderness. God loved them, but they died depressed. They died never achieving their purpose. They died missing their destiny because they would not trust God. When we're discouraged, we can say the dumbest things, even stupid things. Anybody guilty of that? Discouragement. Wow. Why did God let me go through this trouble? Why won't God help me? Now think about what we're saying. No, he helped the church lady over there. The pastor told me if I tithed, God would bring me out, and I'm worse off today than when I started. Remember, you're saved when you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. Let me take it a step further. You will see healing in your life when you believe it in your heart and you start confessing it with your mouth. We're not going to find God's best for our lives until we believe in our hearts that God loves us, and we begin to speak that. We've got to act. Listen, we've got to get our act together and get ourselves cleaned up in the way we think, in the way we speak. You believe that God wants you to be blessed, start speaking that. But no matter what you confess, if you go out and practice sin, live immorally, sleeping around, listen, you're going to reap what you sow. You'll go through mess after mess because you've refused to listen to the word of the Lord. You're going to do it your way. And you wonder why God won't bless you because he wants you to do it his way. I just stepped on somebody's big toe on that one. I feel that one too in the spirit. I wonder how many are thinking right now, God, why did you give me this spouse? Now, I know you can't say anything. Just look straight ahead. Okay? Don't, okay? Or why did you stick me in this horrible job, right? So many people become like the children of Israel. They look at their circumstance and they start believing what they see. They look at their situation and they begin to complain because the situation doesn't look good. God didn't ask them to look at the situation as to whether or not he was going to keep his will, word and will to them. He just asked them to trust him. He would take them in at the right time. So what did they do? They started to complain. How many know the more you talk negatively, the more depressed you become? If you want to get depressed, start talking negatively about your life. Am I right? If you say, oh, I hate my job. If you say it enough times, you're either going to quit or be fired before the month is over. And if you say, I don't love my spouse anymore, it won't be long. You're going to be in somebody else's bed. If you're tired of living under a spirit of depression, if you're tired of living in the wilderness, you have to change the things you speak because you've changed the posture of your heart toward the Lord. Jonah was in the pit. He was in the belly of a great fish. How many know that's the pits? You can't be in any more of a pit than in the belly of a fish. Think about that for a minute. God creates this mammoth fish out in the sea because of Jonah's rebellious spirit, right? And he sends it right in the middle of the storm because he knows they're going to throw him overboard because he finally admits, I'm the problem. You got to get rid of me because I'm creating a problem for everybody around me. So all of a sudden, he goes overboard and he's swallowed by a great fish. Now think about being in the belly of a fish, okay? There are no lights in there. He didn't have a mag light. He couldn't see where he was. It's pitch black in there, okay? There's no bathroom, okay? There's no smart device. Can't call your way out. There's seaweed wrapped around your neck. Fish, dead ones, are hanging around everywhere around you, and it smells. You're in a pit. And Jonah says, wait a minute, God. I'm going to give you what I said I was going to give you. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. And I'm presenting you a heart of thanksgiving. And I'm going to thank my way out of this pit. Let that be a word here today. You can thank your way out of your pit. I know I have problems. Quit talking about your problems. I know you've got problems. I've got problems. I know you're in the wilderness, but you've got to learn to put on a heart of thanksgiving while you're in the wilderness. That's where the test is passed, or that's where we fail. God's not going to bring you out of the wilderness until you're thankful for what he's already done in your life. You've got a list so long you can't go ahead and read it the rest of your days of all the things God's done for you. So I target my faith. My faith is in the one who has always been with me. You have these chains around you. You go to bed depressed. You wake up depressed. You're chained by depression. The point is you have to target your faith. And if the chain is depression, you can't live chained up like that. If you've got a chain of depression, you can't just live with chains binding you. At some point, you've got to start using your faith to break the chains that bind you. At some point, you have to start saying, I'm breaking out of these chains. And joy begins to spring up. And if you'll target your faith, I don't care what it is. If it's about new employment, you need a healing or breaking the chains of depression, whatever. You target your faith. This is what you promised me. Whatever it is, it becomes the target of your faith. And you get some prayer partners around you. You get in agreement with people of faith and people you trust. One can put 1,000 to flight. And two of us can put 10,000 to flight. You've got to get serious with God and bombard the heavenlies with thanksgiving and praise. He will keep his promises to us. The children of Israel were set free from bondage and slavery, yet all they seemed to do when they got out into the wilderness was complain. You see, you don't have to be a drug addict for the devil to defeat you. If you're doing drugs, the devil will for sure defeat you. But all you have to do is become a complainer, and he will defeat you. You don't have to be pimping. You don't have to be dealing. You don't have to be snorting. All you have to do is just stand around and complain. And the children of Israel complained so much, God sent snakes into the camp. Many people died that day. Complaining opens the door for the devil to walk in and bite you. Yeah, and make no mistake, it's a test. And if you think it's easy, you haven't been born again very long, because the enemy will attack you in the area of discouragement faster than any other area of your life, because he wants to break down your faith in God. You've cleaned up your act, you've trusted God, but now things seem to have turned negative, and you wonder, why is this happening to me? You paid your tithe, I came to church and things aren't getting the way I think they should. It's a test. God's testing whether or not you're going to trust him. You're in the middle of this moment of discouragement because that's exactly what devil always tries to do, get you to question what God promised you. I'm telling you, the enemy has a way of throwing discouragement on our path. And when you're discouraged, that's when you're the most vulnerable. Because when you were discouraged enough, you stop caring what God says and you stop caring what God thinks. Are you listening to me? Because the children of God became discouraged, they began to complain and to murmur and to question God. The problem with a complaining attitude, God takes it personally. I said, the problem with a complaining attitude, God takes it personally. What you're saying is, you're not trustworthy. Your word is not true. You haven't kept your promises to me. Listen, he took it so personally, he sent serpents to bite the people because they murmured, because they complained. How many know that anytime you greatly struggle in life, you are susceptible to being discouraged? Anytime you struggle in your marriage, you'll face discouragement. When you struggle in finances, you face discouragement. On the journey of career, of family, of trying to get your health where you need it to be. Anytime the journey is difficult, discouragement will attempt to get a hold of you. Your spiritual enemy will fight you against your fight you through your emotions. He will stir up your old nature and your emotional life to let that begin to dictate again the way you think and the way you speak. The word says he is the accuser of us, we the followers of Jesus. He accuses you of your past. He makes you feel guilty for your present. Then he tells you, if God really loved you, he wouldn't allow you to go through any of this kind of difficulty, and constantly tries to get you to question God. How many know the devil is a liar? He is a liar. And from the beginning, that's where he tripped up the human race, getting us to question what God says. So I'm telling you, the Lord loves you too much to allow us to remain in our sins. He will allow trouble to get our attention. He loves us too much to let us remain the way we are. So he takes us down a difficult path in order to break the power of the flesh, because it is your flesh that is the real problem. That's where the obstacles all come from. The flesh is always looking for the easiest path out. The flesh doesn't want to make a sacrifice. The flesh wants comfort and ease and doesn't want to be challenged. I constantly challenge you, bring a sacrifice to God. I challenge you, give of your life to the Lord, because the payday is well worth it when you put God first. The flesh doesn't want a sacrifice. In fact, the flesh wants to quit when the going gets tough. The flesh wants to blame God when things don't turn out the way you like them to. So I'm telling you, no matter what you're going through today, it's training for where God's taking you. It's all in the... Listen, when you pass the test, he promotes you. I'm thankful. Our God promotes his people. He just wants us to pass the test. And unlike some earthly teachers, God will just let you keep take the test over and over and over and over until you learn, amen? If you're 8 or you're 80, it's training. God still has something for all of us going forward. So you get your eyes beyond the moment. God's training us for something better. And it is our unstable emotions that entertain thoughts of giving up. It's those emotions that come seeded out of that old nature that take us places in our thoughts we shouldn't go, and questioning God and speaking things we should never have said. And everyone's susceptible to that because all of us come prepackaged with an old nature. It's irrational to blame our problems on God. If we'll speak faith out of our mouths, God will respond to that. Besides that, you've come too far to turn back. You've cried too many tears to turn back. You've given too much sacrificially to turn back. You've used your faith too often to turn back. You've prayed too many prayers. You can't quit now. You're almost to the place of promotion. Don't blow it at the last minute. And as you grow up in Christ, you learn to walk by faith, not by sight. Sight will take me places I don't want to go. I see circumstances and they scare and they frighten and they trouble and they discourage. I want to walk by faith. I'll trust what God said, not what my senses are dictating. Listen, God wants us to trust him even though we're on a difficult path. It's more difficult to trust God on a difficult path. But he wants to teach us and train us to trust him no matter how difficult it might be. So you look at the life of Joseph, and no matter what obstacles he faced from his own family, from a culture that did not understand his spiritual background, from being accused of things he never did. Listen, those were all tests. God wasn't going to allow Joseph to reach the dream he had for him in the promotion to the second most powerful man in the world of the day until he passed those tests, trusting God. And every time God put a test in his path, every time Joseph passed it, there was yet another promotion. And that's the way God works it in everyone's life. Where no one here is more special than Joseph, that we're going to escape the testing. He wants you to keep paying your tithes. Even when it's a difficult week, we still pass the test. He wants us to keep forgiving those who hurt us, even though it's been difficult on the journey. It's a test, pass or fail. And let me say it this way. It's time to stop playing the blame game. Quit blaming your parents for things they did or didn't do. As long as you still hang on to those kinds of issues, what my mother did or my mother didn't do and my daddy sure didn't do, as long as you hang on to those issues, you're going to stay in the wilderness. Maybe they didn't do a great job. Let the thing go. Cut the cords. Go on with your bad self, right? God's working in your life. He's going to let you go through some dry places. He's working in your life. He'll allow you to take a difficult path because the test has to be passed in order for there to be a promotion. And every day you face a crossroads. All day long we get to make choices. The crossroads is, do you trust God or do you murmur and complain? Is your first thing out of your mouth, why me? Why does this always happen to me? Why am I the victim in this? Again, no. The first question out of our mouth when we start to grow and we start to get it is, what do you want me to learn? There's a reason you're allowing this. What is it I need to learn? When you murmur and you complain, you've opened the door for the enemy to come on in and give everything he's got to take you out. Do you guard the words in your mouth? Do you trust God no matter what you're looking at and say, I still trust you, Lord? As we grow up in Christ, we have to learn to trust him even when we can't feel his presence, even when it doesn't feel like God's with us in this. We have to learn to trust him even when the journey is too difficult for us. And I can't do this, Lord. Have you ever said that to yourself? Ever said that to the Lord? I can't, Lord. I can do all. And then you found, yeah, you could do it. And yeah, you did get through it. And yes, you did succeed because we can do all things. Disappointments come to every one of us, no matter who we are. The devil knows we are most vulnerable when we have been disappointed. And during those times of disappointment, the enemy does everything he can to get you to curse yourself by returning to your past. Because the moment he gets you to do a 180 and go back to your old ways, he gets you under the curse, to curse yourself by being negative, to curse yourself by complaining. Why, I'm going through this, and this is so bad. When you're negative, you're telling God you just don't want to trust him. When you complain, it shows God, I'm not walking by faith. I'm going by how I feel and what I see. By faith, we must say things that we aren't feeling emotionally. I said, by faith, we must say things we aren't feeling emotionally. Because emotions will trick us, fool us, deceive us. When we're walking by faith, we must say, Lord, I trust you. When we don't feel it, we say, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Even if we think in our hearts, he's forgotten all about us. He made a promise to me. I will trust his promise. So we have to say to our neighbors once in a while, no more complaining. It's okay to say that to your neighbor. I hope they say it back to you. No more complaining. The word says that with the heart, man believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth, he confesses unto salvation. In other words, everything you receive in the kingdom of God begins by believing in your heart and then confessing with your mouth. You will never lose that weight until you start confessing it with your mouth. Okay? And you'll never overcome depression until you start confessing, the joy of the Lord is my strength. There's a difference between heart faith and head faith. You can have all kinds of doubts in your head, but still have the word of faith in your heart. We must have enough sense to speak the faith that is in our hearts and not speak the doubt that is in our minds. We can think in our head, well, I'm not going to make it. This isn't going to work. On paper, it's impossible. We can think nothing is going to go in the right direction. We can think that no one has it as bad as you do. But when we start confessing, the Lord is going to bring me out. God is bigger than my trouble. My God does anything but fail. Listen, you're hearing God's word when you start speaking that way, and you're strengthening yourself once again in your own heart. Something inside of us begins to change, and our faith begins to grow. When we begin to speak out God's word, he's going to work it out. That's the God I serve. He's going to work it out. You have to know that attitude determines altitude. If you believe that, you'd put a gate on that lip and say, before that spills out, no, no. If we really believe that attitude determines how far we get in life, you'd say, I'm going to get an adjustment in my tude. Mm-hmm. You can watch your bad attitude change when you start speaking faith and you start speaking what God says. You'll never overcome that spirit of depression until you speak faith out of your mouth. Having a good report coming from the heart out of your mouth. God called a negative report an evil report. James says that your tongue is the unruly member of your body. He said if you can tame your tongue, you can change your entire direction. Evidently, 4 out of 5 people can't. 10 out of 12 could not. And I claim and say that it has to do with my spiritual discipline, self-control, that part of the fruit of the Spirit. As the list goes on, we get to the last one. So it's discipline. It's not feelings. And if you go by how you feel, you're rarely going to speak in faith. If you go by how you feel, you're going to want to speak out something that's negative, especially if you've come out of an abusive past. James says, your tongue is like the rudder of a ship. It will guide you to safety or destruction. So I can predict your future by the things you speak. I can tell you how far you're going to go in life by the stuff that rolls off your tongue. The word says that a man has joy by the answer that is in his mouth. I'll read it to you, Proverbs. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good it is. Amen? The things you say determine whether you're going to have joy or you're going to live depressed. You would think it would be determined by whether or not we had a raise or whether or not things went the way we anticipated. You think it would be determined by the circumstances, and the circumstances create certain feelings. Some of them are good, and we think that somehow that's going to make the determining factor of whether or not we have success. No matter who you are, there are down times when feelings aren't that great. You feel discouraged. You feel depressed. But the word of God is plain. You manifest joy in your attitude. It comes from the depths of your soul. And when the word of God is in your heart, then you can begin to speak that out of your mouth. And what is the product or the fruit of that is joy. I can be going through a difficult time, and I can proclaim the word of God, and something begins to happen inside my life. When I start saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength, what I'm really doing is I'm bringing a faith report into a negative situation. Say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When I proclaim, if God be for me, who can be against me? What I'm doing is I'm bringing a faith report into a negative situation. Since Jesus has already defeated the devil, I'm not waiting for him to defeat Satan. He's already defeated. And since he's already defeated, it's a matter of time before my God works all things together for my good. So I say with my mouth, greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. And all things are working together for good to those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. I'm called according to his purpose. Therefore, it's all going to work for my good. What did I just do? I brought a good report rather than an evil report. I don't have to feel it. I don't even have to be emotional about it. But I have to guard the words of my mouth. So I'm saying, if you want to overcome the spirit of depression, start bragging on God. If you want to have joy, speak the word of the Lord. When I start saying that the joy of the Lord is my strength, I'm saying, I'm coming out of this. God will give me what I need to get through this. You are not going to live with chains of depression binding you. You're saying, I'm targeting my faith. I'm not going to live one more day in this pit. I don't have to go to my apartment and pull the blinds and sit there in a cave of despair saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So you brag about the greatness of our God, bragging on the Lord when everything seems to be negative. You know, people who just speak whatever comes into their minds, you've met some of them, they speak whatever it is that's popped into their head. Those people tend to live in the wilderness most of their lives because they speak what they feel. If you only speak what you feel, you're going to speak negative. You'll murmur. You'll complain. And you're not walking in blessing. If you're walking with the Lord today, you have to believe that your steps are ordered by God. So, okay, God, this is where you've allowed me to be. You have to believe that when you're walking where God wants you to walk, even when it's negative, it's still going to be only temporary, right? Even if you're on a difficult journey, you still believe this too shall pass. I mentioned to you last Sunday morning that great little line that begins a sentence in Scripture, and it came to pass. It's all part of the training. And we've determined I'm not going to allow the enemy and his dark cloud of depression to overtake me. We have to trust God when things get tough. We have to be determined to speak faith when it's a difficult moment. But know you're growing stronger and stronger and stronger with every passing day. Because the children of Israel complained, God didn't permit them the blessings that he wanted for them. In fact, the entire generation had to die off because of this negative continuum of speech. So you may need to change some of the things you're saying, to quit murmuring and complaining, to believe, God, you've ordered my steps, that your trouble is going to work for my good. Don't judge your future by where you are right now. And wherever you are right now, it's only temporary. It's training for where God's going to take you. He's preparing us for promises, preparing us for the promised land. And when you get there, it's going to be worth it. It will be worth it. Amen. I can taste it. I can smell it. I can feel it. It's going to be good. Thank you, Lord. I look at our culture, and it's very easy to go negative, isn't it? But you know what? The great awakening has already begun. God's Spirit is being poured out. God will get the final say. God is going to bring a sweeping move of His Spirit that's going to change the tide and the direction, because God's will shall be done. And know that God has you on a journey that's going to change your future. Don't listen to that devil that's talking to you. No, you won't be broke forever. You won't be in a dead-end job forever. The marriage will improve. You won't be disappointed in life. The journey is going to work for your good. So confess with your mouth. Amen. Say, I am in training. Say, God's taking me higher. Say, I have purpose. It may be a difficult road. I'm going to my promised land. Do you believe that? Then praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me close. The Word is full of people who had many disappointments. David came from a battle with his troops, and they were formidable, all of the troops David had assembled around him. He had the special forces squad wherever he went. And while they were gone, an enemy had plundered their homes, came into the village where they were residing, burned everything to the ground, stolen everything of value. And top it off, they took their wives and their children captive. After a long, hard, arduous battle, they come home to face this. He was totally crushed, disappointed. He didn't just lose his job. He lost everything. There wasn't anything left. Everything. So he sat down. The scripture says he cried until there were no more tears. And you're going to have emotions like that, moments like that, trouble like that. But he hit that point in the curve going down, where then the tears stopped. There has to come a moment when we wipe the tears and we start to pray and we start to talk to our God. And he did. And then he targeted his faith and he said, bring me the ephod. I need to get an answer from the Lord. And he began to ask God, what should I do? Sometimes you pray and you wait on God until you receive new strength. Sometimes you get a little rest until you're built back up and you have new energy. And the Word says, then David began to encourage himself in the Lord. And I can see David. He's talking to himself and he's preaching to himself. And now he's saying, no, not just about they stole this and they stole my wives and they took my kids and they burned everything and stole our... No. Now he's saying, wait a minute, Slewfoot. God delivered me from the hand of the bear, and God delivered me from the hand of the lion. My God will deliver me out of this as well. David was rehearsing all of the victories his God brought him in his past. He's starting to speak faith out of his mouth. He said, God delivered me from Goliath, and he will deliver me out of this situation I'm facing as well. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Joshua and Caleb were the only two in the nation of Israel able to go into the promised land because of the good report that was in their mouths, because in their heart they believed God. And if you learn nothing else, learn this. A good report will get you to what you're believing God for in life. Joshua and Caleb saw the exact same things the other 10 saw. They walked on the same soil. they made up their minds, we are going to be men trusting God and having faith in what he asks us to do and speak it in spite of negative circumstances that we see like everybody else does. Job was greatly disappointed because he lost everything, all of his children. He's in a well of self-pity. How many know when you have a great loss, it's easy to be depressed? And while he's questioning God, he starts to pray. Again, he hits the bottom, and then he begins to wipe the tears and begins to remember the God that he knows. And he starts to address him, and he starts forgiving those who falsely accused him. And God begins to turn everything around for his good. And God is speaking to people in the room here this morning. You may have been hurt in a relationship. If you'll begin to learn to forgive, let it go, God will begin the process of turning those situations of depression around in your life. No matter how great the loss, God will turn it for you. The same God I serve, who has turned it for me, will turn it for you. Everyone stand with me, and let's make a joyful noise to the Lord before we...